What are you seeking in the new year? What are you seeking in the new year? Well, maybe you might be seeking to further your education. We have some people back there, Anna, maybe you, seeking to further your education to gain new job skills so you can advance in your career or begin a new one. Bible tells us that knowledge is a good thing to be seeking if we seek the right kind of knowledge. Bible says to seek wisdom. The true wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord. I know a lot of people are seeking to get rich, thinking that's what's going to bring them joy. Just this week, I was standing in line, and the person ahead of me was purchasing a whole long string of lottery tickets, of scratch-off tickets, wanting to get rich. And you'll find people seeking riches. Of course, 1 Timothy chapter 6 warns us about that. He says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. They're looking for something they think is going to bring them joy and satisfaction and peace, whatever it might bring, but it could bring them ruin and destruction. I have a whole file filled with people who have won the lottery that have destroyed their lives. It goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Those who are longing, searching, seeking to get rich find that, in fact, doesn't bring them joy and can bring them great evil. Well, there are many people seeking things like internet fame. They're trying to come up with the next viral video so that they can be famous and have a million people look at their video. Perhaps, though, you're seeking more mundane things. Maybe in this new year, you're not seeking fame or fortune. You might just be seeking a little bit more peace, a little more joy, a little less trouble, maybe a little better health than you experienced last year. Maybe you have some modest goals about what you are seeking in this new year. Or perhaps maybe you're not looking for anything. You're just waiting to see what comes up in this new year. Well, we are meant to be seekers. It's how God created us. He created us to be seekers. To seek is to make a careful and persistent search or inquiry, to try to acquire or gain, to ask for, to request, to attempt to discover. And all of that is good, but it depends on what we are truly seeking. What is it that we're looking for to bring us joy and peace and other things in life? We must be careful about what we are seeking. The Bible tells us that we are really seeking one of two things. And in Romans chapter 2, it talks about two things that we can be seeking for. It says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, God will give eternal life. Well, that's one focus of seeking, to seek God's glory and honor and the eternal life that he gives. And we know later in the book of Romans it is through faith in Jesus Christ that he gives that. And then in verse 8 it says, but those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. And so these two verses from the book of Romans tell us that we are really seeking either God and his glory and honor and eternal life, or we're self-seeking. And in our scripture passage this morning, we're going to see both of those. We're going to see both of those who are seeking God and the one who was self-seeking. We will read about those who received joy and fell on their knees in worship, and one who instead leaves destruction in his wake. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2, and on this Sunday before Epiphany, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. We read in Jesus' name, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who had been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" And just pausing a moment, and these Magi, we really don't know anything about them. We do know that they could have come from Babylon, because it was there. They have a great history of those who were astronomers, astrologers, that were looking for signs in the sky and were well acquainted with the stars in the sky. And here they see something unusual and something which leads them to conclude that the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews has been born, he who would be King of the Jews. And very likely, although we don't have this in Scripture, this could be a legacy of Daniel, who, because of God's favor, rose to prominence in the administration in Babylon and was over, it says in Daniel, over the Magi. We find that word again in the book of Daniel, these Magi. And so it may have been a legacy of Daniel and having God's word with this promise of the Messiah, connecting it with this star that God miraculously provided for them. And so they came seeking the King, seeking the Messiah, seeking Jesus. "We have come to worship him." When King Herod, verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And you would think they would be greatly excited. But King Herod, we know from history, was a ruthless king who did everything he could to maintain his control as King of the Jews, a title that the Romans gave him, that he sought out. And we are told that Herod, holding on to his power, would destroy everyone that could have usurped his power, including his own family, his own sons, his in-laws, and others who were a threat to him. And so we know he was a ruthless ruler, self-seeking. He is the definition of self-seeking, wanting to hold on to this power, seeking this worldly power. He was a great king in terms of great power and building projects. He had great control, left a great legacy of marvelous structures, of course, now all in ruins. King Herod, called the Great. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, any threat to his rule. And all Jerusalem with him, they were uneasy about this, knowing Herod's disposition and background. Verse 4 says, "When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born." And they had the answer right like that. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And when Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And we certainly know from the part of the passage we won't read today that it was not Herod's intent to worship him, but to destroy him. Verse 9 says, "After they had heard the king, They went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And if you look on your bulletin from the English Standard Version, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I like that translation. Emphasizes the greatness of their joy. Verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us what we should truly seek and what that means for our lives, especially as we begin a new year, as we turn the calendar page. And Lord, may this new year bring a focus for us of seeking that which we can truly worship and is worthy of our worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the scriptures, we are told to seek the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, it says, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. And remember, we noted from the book of Romans that we're either going to be seeking God and his glory and honor and the eternal life he brings, or we're going to be self-seeking. There are really only two categories here of this kind of ultimate seeking. Now, devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And this is a total devotion, a total searching with all of our being. And God is worthy of that kind of search. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the prophet Hosea says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Where are we going to find this righteousness, this unfailing love? It is in seeking the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Wonderful imagery of breaking up the fallow ground, the hard dirt, to prepare it for a harvest of righteousness. And God will rain down this righteousness. He showers righteousness on you. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says the same thing. Seek first his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. When we have our priorities of what we're truly seeking in life straight, God brings great joy into our lives, the joy of his loving kindness, his unfailing love, and of his righteousness, the fruit of his righteousness in our lives. And so we find these magi going on a search. And apparently it was a two-year expedition, or up to 2 years, because when Herod carefully inquired about when they first saw the star, and then he ordered, if we would read farther in that passage in Matthew chapter 2, that he had all those boys 2 years and younger murdered. And he probably did that to be very careful in terms of eliminating this potential king of Israel. Of course, God protected Jesus, and that's another story. But they were seeking that which was of ultimate value, of ultimate worth, the greatest of all treasures. And in Jesus, we have that which is the greatest value that we could be seeking for and discovering. And in our journey, as we seek that which is most valuable, God is in the journey. He is in and working to guide us to find that which is most valuable. The scriptures continually tells us, you know, that if we seek him, we will find him if we seek him with all our heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord in Jeremiah 29. I will be found by you. God wants us to find him. He put that very longing in our heart to seek that which is most valuable. And these magi came with valuable gifts, seeking the one who was even more valuable than gold or frankincense and myrrh. And on their journey, it says in verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And it would hardly seem that these magi, having stopped for directions, that's obviously, my wife says, obviously you weren't one of those, because you're never going to stop for ask for directions. They were only 2 miles, a few miles away. Bethlehem just lie just to the south of Jerusalem, just a few miles away. It would seem hardly that they would need a star to guide them those last bits. But that star, it says, came and by God's provision miraculously denoted the very house where Jesus was. Now, this was some time after his birth, and now they were no longer in the stable. They found lodging in a house there in Bethlehem. They came to that house. But when they saw this star, this provision that God had made to find what they were longing for, searching for, brought their gifts to give, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Or when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And the word for great there is megas, a mega joy. And Matthew just adds a lot of extra words in here to make sure we understand that this was a joy that was overflowing, indescribable kind of joy. It's the joy that Jesus said he would give. John 15:11, we talked about this last week. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus came to give us the fullness of joy in our searching for him. In the journey itself, there is joy. Even before we fully have all that our heart longs for, there is joy even in the journey. And when they saw the star, when they saw God's provision leading them to that which to which they were seeking, they were filled with joy, with an exceedingly great joy. And God wants to bring us joy. And when we're seeking the right things, there is joy in that. When we seek the things of God, we are filled with joy because we know we shall receive what we seek. We know that our longings will be fulfilled. Seek the Lord. And when they found him, what happened? Yes, in their seeking, they came to worship him. We will worship what we seek. Those who are seeking wealth and fame, that becomes their idol in their life, and that is what they will eventually worship. We will worship what we seek, so be careful what you are searching for. We were made to worship. It's our spiritual DNA. We're going to worship what we seek. And what we worship is up for grabs. Romans 1:25 says, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. We can worship the things God made rather than worshiping the one who gave us those things. And so we want to worship the creator and not the created things. We want to get our worship right. Worship is so important to God, not because he is somehow an egomaniac and just wants everyone to give him all the attention, but he knows that he himself is the longing of our hearts. What will bring us the greatest joy is our worship of him. And he seeks worshipers. We're told that from Jesus in John 4:23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is seeking worshipers. Why? Because in worshiping him, we're going to find our greatest joy and the longings of our heart fulfilled, because God is so good. He doesn't need our worship to magnify himself. He's already so greatly magnified. He's inviting us to participate in this worship so that we can discover what's really valuable, our true treasure in life, and that comes when we worship him. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it tells us about that worship. How is it that we will worship him in spirit and in truth? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Literally, your reasonable worship. It's what we logically ought to do. If we have been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, and he says that, I appeal to you, brothers. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who have believed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior, have put their trust in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, have received the gospel, have heard this good news, and have received it by faith, by God's grace. He says this is the logical step to take, is to offer your whole selves, your whole bodies as a spiritual sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. He doesn't want dead bodies. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants all of us. And so he tells us what we've already heard. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord. And that's what worship is, devoting our heart and soul to seeking the Lord. Verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed, metamorphosized, completely different than the world by the renewing of your mind, allowing God through his word to transform our thinking. And the word for repentance is metanoia in the Greek language, which means to have a new way of thinking, changing your mind. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, that we may prove by doing, as we worship God with all of our lives, he'll prove himself to be that which is most valuable, proving out this good will, perfect and acceptable will of God. God is seeking worshipers. And the Magi give us that description of ones who put great effort to seeking that which is truly valuable. And they brought their gifts of gold fit for a king, frankincense, the essential ingredient in the incense that priests would offer in their worship to God. And he came as our king, as our high priest. And then myrrh, used in embalming. He came to be our Savior. He came to give his life. And somehow, in some way, God moving these Magi to come and guiding them to come, they experienced great joy. They experienced the worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They brought gifts that were appropriate for this newborn king, and appropriate for us to learn what it means to worship him as our king, our high priest, our savior. Would we come and seek that which is truly valuable in this new year? Would we be seeking God, seeking Jesus, seeking that which will give true joy, and worshiping Him, giving all of our life in devotion to Him by His grace, by the gospel, this good news that Jesus Christ came to save us, to give His life on a cross, to give His life as a ransom for us. What are you seeking? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us that we might seek You with all of our heart, because we know in that seeking it will be fulfilled. The longing of our heart will be fulfilled. We'll find our greatest joy. We'll find our greatest treasure. We'll find that which is worthy of all of our worship. And so, Father, may that be our desire in this new year. Father, keep us from being self-seeking and seeking the trivial things of this world that will conform us. Instead, Father, may we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by giving our whole heart and soul to You in worship. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't begun that journey, that hasn't received You, received Your Son as Savior and Lord, would this morning they come to Jesus, and as the Magi did, bow down before Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sin on the cross, that You came to suffer and die for me. I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Oh Lord, come into my heart and into my life to be my Savior and Lord, as You've promised to do. I believe You rose from the dead to give me the confident assurance of eternal life with You one day. Oh Lord, now, even as I believe You live in me, may I live for You. And with all of my heart and all of my soul, all of my mind, may I worship You. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.